That sounds great. Thanks, Dan.
Yep. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature for December 5th, 2017. A couple of preliminaries, please. If you have electronic devices, silence them. If you need the emergency exits, there's one to my right at the back of the room and one to my left at the front of the room. In case of a fire, please don't use the elevator. First thing we're going to be doing tonight is a public hearing, and I'll read the announcement of the public hearing. A public hearing will be held by the Tompkins County Legislature at 5:30 p.m. concerning Local Law Number F of 2017, the repeal of Local Law Number 4 of 2017, a local law overriding the tax levy limit for 2018. Is there anyone who'd like to address the legislature regarding this public hearing for the repeal of Local Law 4? Jim, do you want to make any comment on it as budget chair as to what it is?
I think it was way back in May or June we gave ourselves the ability to go over the tax cap when we built the budget. Our tax cap was 3.15. We came with a 2.4 levy increase. So we were kind of protecting ourselves in case we went over. We passed it then. We didn't go over. Part of the process is you have to repeal it. We have a public hearing, and you have to repeal it and report it to the New York State Department of State. And I'm hoping that we will then repeal it later on in the agenda.
And it is on the agenda later.
Yes.
Anyone, last call, anyone who would like to speak on this? I'm going to close the public hearing. And let's open the meeting. Shall we start with the pledge? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. May we have the roll call of members, please?
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Ms. Black?
Here.
Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
Label. I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
I am here.
Think of another one.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis is asked to be excused. Mr. Lane?
Here.
13 members present?
We have quorum. Presentation of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
We will be having an executive session tonight, and it will be regarding litigation and a particular employee personnel matter. Let's move to privilege of the floor. I think we have someone from the public who's going to send us up a blue card. Faye, we'll wait for you. The rules of speaking for privilege on the floor are that an individual may speak no longer than 3 minutes. A speaker will not raise their voice. A speaker will not use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of the peace. A speaker will not speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about job performance of named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, a speaker will leave the microphone and yield the floor. Transferring time to another person is not permitted. A speaker will not cause disruption, and if asked to leave, will leave the chambers. Written materials may be submitted to the clerk of the legislature. If there are personnel matters, they should be directed to the relevant department and or supervisor, or in the case of a department head, to the county administrator, except for the county administrator, county attorney, finance director and clerk of the legislature, which should be directed to the chair of the legislature. Have one thing. We do have the countdown clock. Faye Gugakis, if please come forward.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I want to actually start with this before I lose any time. I don't want to embarrass you, Dooley. Dooley just recently lost her longtime partner. I'm sorry. I was going to do this next week. But I didn't. Now, being that she lost her partner, I'm doing it today. These flowers are for that loss, but they're also for all the incredible work you have given us all these years. I can't remember how many years it's been. You're writing notes, thinking through all the meetings, thinking through being there if I called you. Just incredible amount of work. And, you know, in his memory, in Richard's memory, you know, he's happy. He's happy not only for the love you gave him, but for all the work you've done for our community. And I want to take this moment, and if I have a little more time, I want to talk about some political stuff. I want to thank you so, so much, because you have done an incredible work for our community.
Faye, thank you for that kindness, and we'll start the clock again for 3 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I want to say, Dooley, enjoy your retirement, although I know you're still going to be active politically. I appreciate the extra time. That meant a lot. I didn't expect it, actually. So I would say that next meeting, but to thank everybody else who's retiring, too. I have been a longtime bicycle rider for 30 years, since I came 1982, so maybe a little longer than that. Not once have I seen the concern of cell phone use and texting be very serious to this community. Whether even the progressive people, I've been to the city's bicycle committee, nothing gets done. To the council, nothing. Here, nothing. All these years, we're talking about signage, education. My God, we have people on the payroll that are doing nothing. What are they doing? I was banned from Green Star for 2 months because I was trying to help with getting abandoned bikes from being at the racks at Oasis. And then I was accused of taking up their time and doing that, which I didn't take up their time. I mean, that's discrimination. I shouldn't be kicked out of a store because of that. I mean, I'm allowed back. But, you know, other people that are in my position get lawyers. Homeless people get lawyers in Ithaca. I mean, but nobody cares to defend me. I have to defend myself. And I still do that. And I'm a cyclist. And every day I see the dangers. But yet the city doesn't want to put any signage on bicycle racks. Oh, but no, we want to paint them. What is painting the racks going to do? These people that are going around painting even inside the garage, which I feel is unsafe. I have an art background, okay? When you're going into the Seneca Street garage and they're doing all that painting activity, I mean, really, I mean, that's dangerous. But nobody has helped me with having a public campaign with these dangerous activities. I tried to cross the street. The cars don't let me cross where I'm supposed to cross. And the other thing I want to talk about is development. We're talking about the garage now being knocked down. How fast is this development moving? Because you know what? I'm a tenant on the Commons, and I begged for a meeting before this development started, and nobody cared to include the tenants. So when we talk about transparency, when we talk about climate change, hey, fellas and ladies, climate change is walking, riding a bike, the most benign activity, and yet we're not supporting that. Why? Why can't we do anything as simple as putting signage, as reaching out to people, as educating people? We've got all these people that start up, I don't know, their own committees, organizations, bicycle this, bicycle that, has done nothing to help me bike around the community. So I'm sorry, but I have a little bit of hard news there. But again, my best wishes to Dooley and to everybody else who's retiring, and I'll try to come back in 2 weeks and say a little more about that. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the only blue card I have tonight. So unless there's anybody else, we'll move forward with privilege of the floor for municipal officials. I see City Councilperson George McGonigal.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Before I start, I would like to second what Faye said for the Right Honorable Ms. Kiefer. On behalf of the mayor and city council, we please accept our sincere condolences. And for those who are retiring, on behalf of the mayor and council, I would just like to say thank you for your service, and we have the utmost admiration for you, and I mean that. I thank you very much. As far as city business, the council meets in 2 days, or actually tomorrow, and noteworthy votes will be one about closing off the tunnel, which is referred to as Ezra's Tunnel, that goes into Fall Creek right above the falls and is an access point to a swimming hole farther up the creek, which is dangerous. Cornell wants us to close that off, and they have offered to pay for the fence. So we'll see how that vote goes. And the other thing I'd like to mention is that the last detail about the changes that are coming for West State Street between Degannock Boulevard and Floral Avenue will also be voted on tomorrow night. That's it.
Thanks, George. Questions? Carol?
George, I've been asked a bunch about pocket parks.
Ah, yes.
And the will of the council. I mean, there is nobody who has said to me, let's get rid of some pocket parks. They have all said, I hope that, but I mean, they assumed the county was not part of that.
I should have mentioned that.
The joint part of that study and the parks had
right.
nothing to do with pocket parks. It was all waterfront, but people assume that the county might have something to do with it. And, you know, to a person, they have all asked, what can I do to help save every last one of the pocket parks? And I do agree with them that it is good for every single neighborhood and that the county... please pass along to the council that the county does place a premium on preserving green space as good for everybody to do every, you know, in every one of our towns and communities and neighborhoods.
I should have mentioned that. I apologize. There's been some misunderstanding because the recommendations for deactivating some of the smaller parks, and Strawberry Fields was just not small at all. Those were recommendations by a consultant who was hired to create an overall plan for the city parks. And so that's not something that council is thinking about doing necessarily. We haven't even talked about it. And you're right. There's been a lot of feedback from the community about basically every single one of those parks. So there's nothing to worry about yet, at least.
Yep. Martha Roberts.
Thank you, Mike. Hi, George. The week before Thanksgiving, there were a number of meetings about LEA, Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion, with the folks from Albany and a person from Seattle. Can you give us a sort of quick update on where the city is taking that and how we might be involved?
I actually went to one of those meetings. The LEAD program in Albany, which is where one of the people came from, shows very encouraging signs of success. And I don't think the city of Ithaca has done anything concrete yet, but we hope to. So I can't give you any specifics about what next steps we've taken, because I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Will Burbank.
Sort of a similar issue. The Ithaca plan included the concept of a supervised injection site, and that this is an issue that has been brought to the attention of both our Board of Health and our Community Mental Services Board. Both had a number of questions. I was just wondering where things stood on the city's end.
I give the same answer. I mean, of course, the county's responsible for health and social services more than the city is. But and the safe injection site idea, I think, is worthy of consideration, but at this time it's not legal in the state of New York. So we're a long way from that. Does that answer your question?
Well, the question is whether the city was intending to ask the state for permission to do a pilot, because it would have to have authorization from the state, obviously.
I would have to ask the members of the committee who are studying this to give you an answer to that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, George.
Anyone else? George, thank you for coming to our meeting and reporting.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
Privilege of the floor for legislators. Anyone want to talk tonight? No hands.
Oh.
There's Martha.
Good try, Mike. quickly, just a great event on Saturday with the put on by Cornell, together with the president of Cornell was there, and the president of Ithaca College, and the president of TC3, the first time at the Togo Awards, the Town Gown Awards, that all three presidents were there. It was great. And our retiring legislators were recognized, as were Joe Mariana, Ed Marks, and Patricia Carey. I think that was all from the county specifically. So
Susan Curry.
Thank you very much. It was great. It's always a good event. I encourage people to try to go next year. They do it the first Saturday in December, I guess. On not so happy news, I've been watching the tax bill in the Senate and Congress. I don't like us to pick political fights here, but this bill is great if you have a private yacht or a private jet, because those you'll get a new tax deduction on. But if you're a teacher, you will not anymore be able to get a deduction for the $250 you spend on school supplies. If you have out-of-pocket health costs, you won't get a deduction on that. You won't get a deduction on your interest for your student loans. If you're a graduate student, you will now have to pay taxes on the value of tuition, which is cash you never see anyway. So your tax increase is going to go. Your taxes are going to go up hugely, and there's lots more. The tax brackets are being messed around with. There's also a question of what this would do to Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid in the short term and the long term. This is truly a Robin Hood in reverse tax bill, and I would really urge people to get the... Oh, that's even besides the state and local income tax deductions that are going to go away. Now, this is being described, and I think it's correct, as a backdoor way for the federal government to force states where we, such as New York, have said, we're willing to pay a little bit more in taxes because we value the services that taxes pay for. This is a backdoor way for the federal government to try to force states to cut and cut and cut. So, and then the end of that story is going to be when the deficit balloons in a year or more, they will then use that as a further excuse to cut programs like Social Security, Medicare, and every other service for the community, for people, for the environment, et cetera. Tom Reed's phone number in Washington, D.C. is 202-225-3161. I'll just give that one and give it again. There are other office numbers if you don't want to call long distance, but 202-225-3161. Pressure does matter, and he should hear from everybody who's got a stake in this, which is to say everybody. Thank you.
Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Mike. First thing, I'm told by a very interested viewer, we have a picture but no sound. And my second comment is I want to thank Cornell. Martha did it for Town Gown. All of us were there. And I think the happiest person in the room was my granddaughter, because when we got in the car going home, she loved the trophy. And it seemed to be it was a winner for her and clearly a winner for me. I was very happy to be there with all of with Dooley and all the other people who are leaving, Will and other, Rachel Lempert, Bob Ritter, a whole bunch of really cool people in the community. So thank you, Cornell.
Jim, I'm seeing some motion from Jim Blizzard in the control room, and I think he's telling me that he thinks everything is going out properly.
Let this person know that.
Okay, well, so if there's a problem, it's I don't think it's coming out of our control room.
Okay.
But thank that person for the text.
I will.
Rich John is next.
I'm going to be a little bit redundant because I wanted to talk about the tax bill as well. I was going to raise this at our last meeting, but we were saying such nice things about Joe Mariana. I didn't want to poison the well. There's a lot of arguments you can make that we do need to reform our tax structure. And there's a lot of bipartisan work that we should be doing, and both sides should be compromising in this area. But there's real reasons to worry about this bill. The fact that it was made in the dark, that they were not holding hearings, that it was totally broken down on party lines, means that it's a divisive bill, and there's been tremendous argument about what it means, with one side saying this is just going to be the best thing we could have done for the economy, and then the other side saying no. But it does seem that the nonpartisan groups that have examined this say this is going to be really damaging on lots of different levels. For citizens who make less than $75,000, your taxes will probably go up over time. You get a short-term benefit, but then it disappears. It's certainly bad for New York State and other states that are structured the way New York State is, where the removal of state and local tax deduction is going to cause real damage. It's bad for local government generally, and we're already seeing that. Certainly, we're going to see more and more cuts. They're coming next year, but they're already saying that children's health insurance, we just don't have any money for that. We already had the communication that the federal government just cannot afford to pay for a share of the Marshals Service at the airport, and we're picking that up on our own. There is real need, and we're going to see the spending cuts. They're coming. Our congressman voted yes on this bill, and he voted for it despite pretty clear consensus that there's going to be a very large deficit increase as a result. And for years, Tom Reed has said, let's do something about the deficit. And I've heard that and I've agreed with him. We should be reducing this debt, this national debt that we're carrying. There's times to do it. Certainly when we're in a financial crisis and the whole economy is in trouble, That's probably not the time to do it. But our economy is doing okay now. We should be doing something responsible about the debt, and you can blame the Democrats and you can blame the Republicans in their own turn for not addressing it. But right now, we should be doing something about it, and very clearly we're not. And I'd read a quote from our congressman from 2013 when he said, "I will fight every day to ensure this monster of debt is finally tamed." No, he's not. They surveyed, I think it was 37 economists from across the political spectrum. 37 said, this is going to drive the deficit up, probably about $1 trillion. It seems like our congressman doesn't really care about that now. And then I'd say this bill is really bad for Tompkins County in particular. And why do I say that? Because our economy is highly dependent on education, right? That is our local industry. That is our employment base, is colleges and universities. Obviously, we have Ithaca College and Cornell and TC3 here in the county. They are the largest employers, taken in sum, and they pay living wages and above, and it is what drives our economy. This tax bill creates a whole series of new tax obligations directly related to education. And if you'd bear with me for 1 second, I'd just like to run through them. Martha, I know you mentioned a couple, but first, taxes graduate students' tuition scholarships. Two, removes tax deduction on student loan interest. So for those who are paying back student loans, you're going to pay back more money. Three, makes the employee-dependent tuition benefit taxable. And everybody in this room knows somebody who's gotten the benefit of sending their kid to college through that program at Cornell and Ithaca College, and I believe it's at TC3 too. You can argue with it whether that's the right thing to do or not, whether that should be taxable, but you can't change the fact suddenly it's going to be far more expensive for working-class people to send their kids to college. Four, the employer education assistance programs will be taxable. So if your employer is helping pay for you to go to college, that's going to be taxable now. Under the House bill that Tom Reed voted for, the Senate is a little bit different. Five, repeals the lifetime learning credit for part-time students. And this is for people, particularly employed people, who are trying to better their skills. Right? Gone. Right? Six, taxes university endowments. And again, you can argue about this, but we are home to one of the premier research universities in the world. This is a gem. This is something that matters, and we all depend on it. And the House, in its wisdom, said, let's tax that money so that we can give a huge tax cut to very, very wealthy people. Seven, and again, this is getting into the weeds a little bit, but it eliminates private activity bonds, which is a way that local government can help colleges and universities to borrow money at affordable rates to grow. And the same thing on 8, they eliminate advanced refunding bonds, which allow refunding bonds when interest rates go down. So I wanted to read that list just to make the point that this bill has a clear pattern, and the pattern is attacking higher education. I don't understand it. I think it's ideological. But very clearly, Tom Reed supports attacking higher education in a county he represents that is highly dependent on an education economy. And if you think about where we need to go as a nation in competing with other countries, I have no idea why we would do this. This makes no sense. It's not what Tompkins County or the Southern Tier needs. And you wonder, why would he do it? Well, I have an idea. If you go look at opensecrets.org, it's a very easily accessible website. It will tell you where political candidates get their money. And Tom Reed raised about $3 million in his last election cycle. He's on track to raise a lot more for the 2018 election cycle. And 3/4 of that money came from out of district. He's getting money, most of his money, from sources that he doesn't represent. But they certainly matter to him. His colleague, Chris Collins, made the statement for him, probably, unfortunately, too truthful, saying, my donors are basically saying, get it done or don't ever call me again. Well, it looks like they did get something done, and there's going to be some mess coming out of this reconciliation process. And this is where I would echo Martha to say, now is the time to call Tom Reed's office, particularly if you voted for Tom Reed. Right? Frankly, I don't really know why he maintains an office in this county. It's a waste of taxpayers' money in terms of paying attention to the people he's supposed to represent. But if you can call him and say, I voted for you, and I do not understand what you're doing in supporting this tax bill with these damaging impacts on our local economy, the number is 202-225-3161. And if you want to make it a local call, while there still is an office here, 222-2027. Thank you.
Anyone else on privilege of the floor? I would speak on privilege of the floor. Our year will soon be coming to an end, and we will have a new legislature sworn in after the first of the year. That legislature will, as required by our charter, elect new leadership, a chair and a vice chair. Over the last few years, I have encouraged folks that are interested in running or being considered for those positions to say so publicly. Some have taken me up on it, some haven't. But I would indicate tonight that I am interested in serving as chair next year. Anyone else tonight? Yes, go ahead.
I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at Martha, at Marcia, rather. And is tomorrow the City of Ithaca's?
I was going to say something on Chair's report, but that's fine. I can say it now. Tomorrow, and I think I sent out an email to everyone, that the Bicentennial Commission will hold the dedication of the historic marker for the City of Ithaca tomorrow night at 5:30 in front of City Hall on Green Street. It'll be a short ceremony because it's before their meeting. That's when they asked to hold it. But if we'd like to see as many of us that could come be there to mark that. The city is our county seat, and it's important that we have a great relationship with the city and that we mark the fact that they have been with us from the beginning.
Did you say 5:30?
5:30, Green Street in front of City Hall. You can't miss the marker. It's right there in the planter. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess that went into Chair's report, and I was going to say something about Togo, but Martha mentioned that. That was a nice event that Cornell put on Saturday morning, their annual event. And it was nice to see our retiring legislators and our retiring department heads given some recognition for that. And I see that there was an article in the Ithaca Journal about it as well, and the Ithaca Voice. Any questions? Oh, Kathy reminds me I have some appointments. I'm going to be appointing Glenn Morey to TC3 negotiations for the new adjunct faculty unit that is getting started out there. And Shauna has come on, Shauna Black, and I'm appointing her to the Transportation Committee, the Health and Human Services Committee, and Facilities and Infrastructure for the remainder of the year. Let's go to reports. Let's start with our interim county administrator, Paula Younger.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mike. I don't have a report, but there is one important item that I want to bring to your attention this evening, and that is the appointment of a new Commissioner of Planning and Sustainability. So I do have a few opening remarks, if you bear with me. As you know, Ed Marks retired from the Commissioner of Planning and Sustainability position back in August, and that was leaving us good enough time to have a notice and put plans in place so that we could undertake a search for his successor. with a 10-person search team that included two legislators, the county attorney, the director of assessment, our recently retired administrator, and representatives from TCAD, INHS, the Environment Management Council, and the Planning Advisory Board, we were well on our way. Over a period of approximately 3 months, with considerable assistance from our HR department, the search committee reviewed resumes and cover letters, prepared interview questions and scenarios, and conducted two rounds of interviews, including finalist presentations. From over 30 applications to four solid candidates to two finalists, Katie Borghella held an impressive lead throughout this process and has been recommended unanimously by the search committee. Katie has served as Deputy Commissioner of Planning and Sustainability since 2014. She is a trained civil engineer with 24 years of professional planner experience who has a keen ability for building relationships, mentoring staff, and delivering high-quality projects to our community. Katie has a degree in engineering from the University of Vermont and a master's degree in natural resources with concentrations in city and regional planning from Cornell University. Before joining the county, Katie signed or designed soil and water conservation projects for cranberry and dairy farmers in Massachusetts and built latrines and schools as a community development engineer with the Peace Corps in Cameroon. Some of the projects that she spearheaded during her time with the County Department of Planning and Sustainability include developing the complex energy roadmap, revamping the Environmental Management Council's unique natural areas inventory, and working with farm families in Lansing and Dryden to permanently protect over 1,800 acres of farmland. As you can see, Katie brings to the commissioner position great vision, genuine enthusiasm, and plenty of hands-on experience. As interim county administrator, one of my first official moves in this position, so this is drum roll, please. I am pleased to be recommending her appointment to the position of Commissioner of Planning and Sustainability and respectfully ask for your approval of this appointment.
Does anyone need an executive session to discuss this appointment? Then I think a motion is in order at this point to approve this appointment. Martha, you're the chair of the committee, so
I would be honored and delighted to make such a motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Dave McKenna. Any discussion?
Unanimous.
It can be unanimous second if you want it. You want it to be an unanimous second?
Sure.
Anybody object?
No.
All right, it's unanimous second. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? And that's a unanimous vote. Katie, would you like to say anything to us?
Well, thank you so much for this opportunity. To Paula, the search committee, and the entire legislature, I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to lead and support the outstanding staff we have at the County Planning and Sustainability Department. Looking for ways to partner with other municipalities and other departments in the county to just keep this county strong and thriving and a great place where we all want to live and raise our families. So thank you very much.
Anything else, Paula?
That's the end of my report.
Well,
thank
that's
you
an important event tonight. Let's go to our county attorney, Jonathan Wood.
I do not have a report.
Questions for Jonathan? All right, we'll go to our director of finance, Rick Snyder.
I will not disappoint you. I will have a report.
All right.
On pages 3 and 4 of your packet, tonight we're going to look at the October sales tax receipts and the county's portion of sales tax for distributions for October was up 3.2%. If you look at line 7 in the middle part of that distribution summary, you can see 3.2% for the county. This happens to be the second best October of record. As of the end of October, the year-to-date distributions for the county, if you move over to the right-hand columns, That totals $28,597,239 compared to $27,244,459 in 2016. This represents an increase of $1,352,780 year over year, or an increase of 4.97%. This also puts us over budget for 10/12 of the year so far. And we'll probably be reporting November's sales tax receipts in the first meeting in January, because I am scheduled for vacation for our next meeting on December 19th. If the legislature would give me that leave, I have family coming up from Florida, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, and so I will be absent at your next legislature meeting. But I will entertain any questions you might have on the sales tax report.
Mr. Court, Martha.
Yes, great news, and we often ask you what's why, when it goes up or down. I mean,
there's really nothing new on the radar right now, except for that we're moving into the holiday season, and receipts have consistently grown as consumer optimism has grown, business has done well. Everything is on the economic front doing quite well, not just in Tompkins County, but everywhere. And so we haven't gotten any particular reports or receipts. Gas has gone up, as you notice. I did read something in the Business Journal about AAA reporting. This is the highest gasoline has been for a December over the last 4 years. So that means as gas is higher at the pumps, that means our sales tax receipts will go up correspondingly.
Thank you.
Jim Dennis.
He took away my comment.
Okay. Now I think we need to start the debate on whether he's allowed to go on vacation.
Can we go into executive session, please?
Executive session, okay.
Only if he says goodbye tonight to those of us who won't be here.
I will say it's been an honor. I was at the Toga Awards on Saturday. It was an honor to see so many of our county representatives there, both those. I did miss not seeing Joe there, and we will keep him in our prayers. I do believe that with new department directors coming on board, soon to have a new county administrator, I think it's going to be a vibrant and exciting new year. I look forward to working with those who are new legislators coming on board, but I do want to thank each of you who are retiring for your service. Thank you very much. Enjoy this holiday season, as I know I will.
Okay, we'll let you go. All right. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda tonight? Martha Robertson.
I'd like to withdraw the one I submitted, I guess, as a member filed, Resolution C. I'd discuss it if you want.
That's withdrawn. Okay. You can, if you want to mention it on your report. Or do you want
to... actually, it wasn't committee, but so the city is going to be voting on a slight revision at our request. Thank you to Dan for getting some more information on this, and I figure we should just bring it back after the city has finalized their side of it.
Okay. Julie Kiefer.
I would like to. I hope we can add Resolution D, which I submitted in support of equality of internet access, parenthesis net neutrality, and regulation of the internet as a public utility under Title II of the Federal Communications Act.
Is there a second to add that to the agenda? Will Burbank. Discussion on that. Those in favor of adding it, please raise your hand. One, two, keep your hands up. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Those opposed? One opposed. That is added to the agenda.
One more to add? Jim Dennis.
Jim, do you have one to add to the agenda? You've got one to add.
Resolution E. No.
Resolution E. Jim, do you have that?
What am I adding?
Benetech.
I'm hearing
Benetech.
Oh, the changes?
No, it's the Department of Human Resources resolution that the Budget Committee acted on earlier this evening.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. It is an authorization to execute a contract with a company called Benetech Incorporated, and I would add that.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn. All those in favor of adding that, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. That'll be added. Let's go to the consent agenda. Have some advisory board appointments. For the Environmental Management Council, John Dennis from the Village of Lansing. For the Criminal Justice Advisory, Alternatives to Incarceration Board, Louise Miller, David Sanders, Susan Robinson. To the Stop DWI Advisory Board, Patricia Buchel, Stacy Cangelosi, Mike.
No resolutions.
And there's no resolution, so it's just the appointment on consent. Can I get a motion to approve those? Carol, is there a second? Seconded by Dooley. All those in favor of those, please raise your hand. Any opposed? Okay, let's go to standing committees. Start with the Jail Study Committee. Rich John is the chair.
The Jail Study Committee has not met since our last meeting. We'll meet the third Thursday of the month, and I'm not sure what number day that is. 21st. Thank you. Yes, December 21st at 5 o'clock. Or no, 4:30.
4:30.
Questions for Rich? Thank you, Rich. Let's go to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee.
Mike, excuse me. Is there a particular topic for that meeting?
I am not sure whether we're going to have any feedback from Labella on their preliminary designs. We're probably also going to be talking about the criminal justice coordinator position.
Thank you.
Let's go to Leslin for Workforce Diversity and Inclusion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee met on the 29th, and we had two main topics of discussion. One was hearing from the Strategic Tourism Planning Board on their diversity plan that they have been developing and offering feedback. It's been a number of years that we've been talking with folks about this, so it was really refreshing to see the STPB make the effort to put together a diversity plan that was pretty comprehensive, and to come to us for even additional feedback for developing it better, coming up with a final product. So we spent a lot of time discussing that with Tom Knight and sharing information. And the second big thing, part of our agenda, was having Kathy Schlatter, the director of the Human Services Coalition, manages or who oversees and approves the budget that's presented to us from many of our nonprofit agencies that get funding through the county, and sharing with her also suggestions we have, as well as questions we'd like to have ask of these agencies relative to what they're doing in terms of diversity and inclusion. So Kathy did share with us that they have been looking at that. There's some questions they ask now. We strongly believe that agencies that are receiving funding from the county should not be engaging in activities that are could be considered discriminatory, activities that aren't in keeping with what the county presents as its commitment to diversity and inclusion. So we were able to engage in a very productive discussion with Kathy and offer some feedback from the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee on some of the questions that they could be asking, and what sort of responses they're looking for, and how to help some of those agencies, small agencies, develop better metrics as well as better plans around diversity and inclusion. Those were the two main pieces of our discussion. All the things that are coming up is just getting information about the LGBTQ plus training that will be happening with the Rochester group throughout our county organization, meeting with managers, legislators. Please note that you were also invited to attend these trainings. If you don't recall getting that email like yours truly did, it was sent. I just didn't recall getting it. You can ask again, and administration certainly will send it to you again. But we really would like to get as many folks within the county, and I would implore you, my colleagues, to try to attend this training when it is being offered. I think that was the gist of it.
Questions? Carol.
Pardon?
The post-climate survey search committee also did a report.
Oh, Paula, thank you so very much. How could I forget? I'm so sorry. 30 meetings later, the post-climate survey, there was a committee that was put together post the last climate survey to help with implementation of some of the things that we heard, one from the focus groups, as well as some of what came up in the climate survey. That committee was chaired by Tom Knife and Christina Dravis, Tom of Planning, and Christina Dravis from the 911 Center, manager of the 911 Center. I want to, on public record, thank them profoundly for taking on chairing this group. Some of the things that came out of that group that people may not recognize is working with HR to make sure employee reward and recognition program gets off the ground, and we want to thank the legislature for the money that we'll put in the budget to make that even more solid next year. The employee picnic came out of that group as well, because we heard through a climate survey how much employees want to feel more connected to fellow employees, so that was an idea. Out of the employee picnic, we had a bocce tournament that ended up with a whole lot more people showing up and participating. And employees really getting to interact with each other across departments, getting to know who else is where. We also had the Cup of Joe with Joe came out of that group as well, and those were well received. And Joe did a fantastic job of meeting with random sampling of employees and hearing people's concerns and responding to them. And there were a number of other initiatives that came out of this group. So we weren't just sitting around twiddling our thumbs. We really were taking the information presented to us in the climate survey by the, you know, more than 60% folks who responded and putting those things into action, including some of the trainings that will be coming up as well. There's a large spreadsheet of action plans, of other action items. It is not our intention that this group will go away. We know that Tom is moving on, but we certainly will welcome other folks to join us in trying to move forward other areas that's on the action plan. Department heads have been involved as well in terms of sharing best practices that work within their departments around diversity and inclusion, whether it's recruitment or retention or reward or recognition. So that's another thing that came out of their group as well, sharing with each other department heads meeting. So there are a number of things. You will hear more about this as we sort of recruit other folks to join us, because once again, we'll be coming up very quickly on the other climate survey that we need to do for the county, seeing where we have come from, where we are now, and what else is happening that we need to take up. So that was the bulk of our meeting, three really big items. So for those who feel that WDIC is not doing anything, you are far from right. There's a lot that we have been doing and a lot that our employees are appreciating. Next week, the 12th of December, I believe it is, good Lord, a subcommittee of the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee will be meeting to continue our discussion around LGBTQ plus interaction with law enforcement sort of policy, particularly transgender individuals as it relates to search and seizure, et cetera, et cetera. We're looking at policies that have been developed by other communities, Albany and others, and seeing if something like that would work here and getting information from the Sheriff's Office about what they have been doing and so on. At a previous meeting of WDIC, Under Sheriff Brian Robeson was there to sort of share, so he's been involved with the process as well. So we'll be meeting next Tuesday to continue that conversation as a subgroup, and you will hear more from us about it. I think I've said it all now. Yeah?
Leslin, far be it from us to say that WDIC doesn't work hard. All of our committees work hard. Carol Chalk.
Thank you. Leslin, I was just interested in a little bit more about the STPB diversity plan. Is there focus on the types of organizations that are represented in the awards, the types of programs that are delivered by those organizations, the staff members of those organizations, the membership of the STPB? So all of the above.
So it's all of the above, probably except for the staff of the organizations. The big focus is on their board, the makeup of their board. They did an in-house sort of survey to see where people fell out on a number of questions. We give them some feedback on that as well. And seeing what else should they be doing in terms of recruitment for voting board members, non-voting board members, associates, and how do you sort of groom people into being interested in the STPB, looking at the programs that are being funded, what's being submitted for funding, so a number of things like that. So it really was, and it is, they really are using the county's policy, diversity policy and inclusion policy, as well as our diversity and inclusion statement as their line of sight to sort of develop their plan as well, because it seems to include for them everything that they should be striving towards as well.
Thank you.
Martha next.
Thanks, Mike. Leslin, you mentioned the Human Services Coalition. It sounds like a good discussion. Now, I would point out that by number, of the nonprofits in town are so small they don't have an HR department. It's like the executive director is finance and HR and fundraising and everything else. So now you talked about discrimination in some of those agencies. Now, there's one thing, like helping agencies to be more proactive in recruiting and retaining staff. Is there any indication that there has been discrimination? Which is not the same as, are we doing as well as we can? But
let me repeat what I said. We want to make sure that no agencies that we're funding are engaging in discriminatory behavior. I didn't say anyone is.
Okay.
So we wanted to make sure the right questions are being asked. For example, one of the things that came up to us is, a good example is like Catholic Charities is an organization that's funded, gets funding from us. But historically, we know Catholic Charities being an organization that would not serve because of the policy of Catholic Charities, whoever MOSS is, would not serve members of the LGBTQ plus community. Is that the same thing? Does our Catholic Charities do something a little differently here? That's the kind of thing that we're asking questions around.
Okay, great. And I hope also that as this conversation goes on, that resources to support these especially tiny agencies in kind of doing better and better is a good direction to give them more resources.
Thank you for bringing that up. We did have that conversation. Kathy did mention, you know, a lot of times when they ask for data and so on, agencies are saying, you know, we just don't have the resources to be able to do that. But they will be talking with them about what are creative ways? Many of them have to capture this information already for state and federal and other places from, for which they get grants, and so it may be just adding another extra column or something and keeping that information that they can just easily turn over to the Human Services Coalition, not having to reinvent the wheel. Human Services Coalition also talked about, and Kathy also talked about, perhaps there are ways that through the coalition they can get support and training that's needed. So we did recognize that many of them, you know, are, you know, two-person operations, some of them three-person operations and may not have it. But we want to make sure people understand that this is a priority, period. It is a priority for the county, and so it's a priority for anyone who's getting funding from us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lawson.
You're welcome.
I think the computer hiccuped and put the old library committee back on. We kind of dropped that from the agenda. There's nothing new to report on that tonight. Let's go to Public Safety Committee. Rich John is the chair.
The committee has not met since our last meeting. It will meet on December 21st at 3 o'clock, and I anticipate one of the issues will be further discussion of the law enforcement shared services study, and in particular talking further about the idea of co-location of police departments.
Questions? Dooley.
I vaguely remember reading something in our local newspaper about the city, separate from that, looking at reorganizing where its major functions might be, and they were talking about the fire department downtown as being a possible co-location for City Hall. How does that affect what you're looking at?
Well, it's not clear yet. The city is talking about it. They haven't made any decisions yet, nor have we. One thing is clear, that we're at a point in time where both municipalities are thinking about this at the same time. That probably won't happen again. So if co-location is a possibility, now's the time to consider it. So that's as far as we've gotten.
Has your committee been involved with that committee of the city that's talking about its administrative functions?
There have been some very general conversations, nothing formal.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thanks, Rich. Let's go to the Health and Human Services Committee. Who's the vice chair there?
Leslin.
I am. Oh, yes. I don't remember when we met, but I know we did. Ah, yeah, Mr. Chair.
We'll forgive you. Anyone else want to mention anything from that committee? They met just prior, right?
To the last legislature meeting.
Yeah, so like we didn't have a meeting. I just wanted to say, wait a minute.
I can hear Anna yelling somewhere.
No, we did not. We didn't have a meeting.
Kathy Covert agrees with you. You have not met.
Thank you. The Health and Human Services Committee has not met since the last legislative meeting.
Are there questions for Leslie on this? Thank you.
No, I don't know when we're meeting again.
Mike?
Yes, Will.
So I understand is that the next meeting, which Kathy probably knows the date of.
December 18th.
Thank you. We will be hearing a presentation from the Southern Tier AIDS Program. And that's sort of continuing, I think, the discussion to learn about the possibility of a supervised injection facility. So.
Wait, what did you say? December what did you say?
18th.
1-8. Thank you. At 8.
Thank you. Let's go to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. David McKenna's chair.
Thank you, Mike. F&I has not met since our last legislature meeting, and we will be meeting, I guess, in these chambers at 3 o'clock on the 12th.
Questions? You got the snowplows on ready for the winter?
Mm-hmm. Never know.
Mr. Chair.
Doesn't sound, the weather report sounds cold. Let's go to Transportation Committee. That's my report. We did meet, and we had two topics. We had invited Bob Beck, who is the co-chair of the Dryden Rail Trails Committee to come and talk to us about the progress being made on that trail system in Dryden. That trail system goes on the old railroad bed from Village of Dryden to the Village of Freeville, and that portion has now been open to the public. They actually got all the easements in that portion of it. They got a lot of people to the tune of about $50,000 in donated services and materials to construct the crossing at Johnson Road. And it's an amazing thing that the community has done. Bob Beck wanted us to know about the section that they're continuing to work on from Freeville to the town of Ithaca, basically through Aetna and Varna. And they're still working on trying to get the easements on the old railroad right-of-way. The issue there is some of the there's some things that have to be done with the bridge across Route 366, which they believe the town will take ownership of. And there's a couple of easements they're still trying to negotiate on. They were pleased to he was pleased to tell us that there is now the town of Dryden now has a memorandum of understanding with New York State DEC for that part of the trail that goes by the Cornell or near the DEC pheasant farm outside of Varna. And that's been a bone of contention for a long time. So that's a real good progress forward. Eventually we're going to have this trail all the way from Ithaca to Dryden Lake and beyond. The other thing we talked about with Fernando de Aragon was the Route 13, possibility of doing a study of that, what it would take. We decided that at our next meeting we will basically act as a committee to come into full discussion about what a proposed study would include. Certainly there are at least three sections of Route 13 that could be looked at. The piece from Cortland to Ithaca, through Ithaca, and then from Ithaca south. So we'll be coming back with more of that, and I can report on that after the next meeting a little more. Questions? Martha?
I know there was an article in the paper. I confess I didn't read the whole thing. So was there, do I understand there was a request to the state to fund a study like that?
We're looking at how it can be done. At this point, when we met with state DOT officials in, when was it, last May or June, I forgot, they basically said they didn't have any money to do a study like we were asking for. They were in favor of the idea, but they thought we would have to put it on the TIP, which is the Transportation Improvement Plan. But we know that the money for the Transportation Improvement Plan has been decimated over the last few years. And so that to have a study could be an expensive proposition, and we don't know exactly how much it would cost. We've heard potential estimates of over $100,000 up to $400,000 for a good study. That's what the committee will be talking about, whether where do we go, what might it cost, what might proposals be, could be, and pardon me, and where we would go for funding for that.
Thank you.
Rich?
I just wanted to say as a city resident, I'd like to commend the town of Dryden, the village of Dryden, the town of Ithaca for the steady work on trails. This is really impressive what is happening out there. And it's a really good thing when you see the Black Diamond Trail on the other side of town. What this is going to mean on the East Hill side is really great.
People use them. Anything else? Okay, let's go to Government Operations. Dan Klein is chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Government Operations Committee will be meeting tomorrow, Wednesday, December 6th at 3:30 here in these chambers. Two items of discussion we have. One is discussing a potential policy, which hasn't been written yet, for use of county county-owned rooms, conference rooms, meeting rooms. And the other is a first look at a draft memorandum of understanding for the tenants of the Tompkins Center for History and Culture. So this would be agreement among themselves governing how they would run the building in terms of staffing and fundraising and cleaning and all kinds of stuff. I intend to have the meeting over in time for us, for those that are here, to wander over to City Hall in time for the 5:30 historic sign dedication.
Thank you. Questions for Dan? Dan, I did have a question.
Yes.
We're approaching New Year's, and I know that in many counties in the state, the 2 weeks before New Year's, the sale of ground-based fireworks and sparklers is permitted, and that people can buy them and set them off in their home counties. Am I correct that our residents are not allowed to do that?
You're mostly correct, Mike. the sale of such fireworks is not permitted in this county.
Why are y'all going to bring up sore topics?
And people can't set them off in Tompkins County.
I believe that's true, yeah.
Yes, Leslie?
Mr. Chair, I'm just, you know, I was having a good time up until that moment. You all got to bring up, like, sore topics for certain people, you know. Fine.
Just asking a question, that's all.
Thank you for asking the question.
Mike Ziegler.
So, Dan, what would happen if an 18-year-old was smoking cigarettes up in one of the gorges swimming while having a sparkler in his hand?
The 18-year-old can smoke. They just can't buy the cigarettes here.
Thank you.
Or the sparklers.
Or the sparklers.
Thank you, Dan. Let's go to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson is here.
I'm just waiting for the next random questions. thank you. We meet next on Thursday. This Thursday at 3:00 in this room. I guess the last planning meeting for Julie and Carol, and it's like, wow, you've been on this committee for a long, long time. So we're going to do a couple of things. Irene Weiser is going to come talk in more detail about the pressure booster initiative and the non-pipe alternatives with NYSEG and the Public Service Commission. The TCAD is, we're going to hear a report of their work plan for 2018 and begin a discussion about the funding agreement that we have. We have a five-year funding agreement that ends at the end of 2018. So this will be sort of an initial discussion about that agreement and what's involved in renewing it. We will be looking at revisions to the CEQA policy in the county's policy manual. So, and I'm looking at the memo right now. It says that Joan Jerkowitz sat down and consulted Dooley. So I hope, before putting this together, I'm hoping that we are ready to go. And if any committee member has questions before Thursday, it'd be great to do any of the detailed questions with staff to see if we can make sure our agenda moves along. And then there will be a couple of things related to housing as well. So that's it'll be a full meeting with some interesting stuff. So.
Questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Michael. I'm glad the sheriff just came in because I have my sparklers here, but I won't light them up right now. Item A on the agenda is the adoption of Local Law Number F of 2017, repealed Local Law Number 4 of 2017, a local law overriding the tax levy limit for 2018. Legislator Kiefer put in some changes, and during the committee meeting, Julie, I'm sorry to say that they, in the, let me move the resolution and then I will talk about the changes.
And that one didn't get changed.
There's some confusion. No, Kathy?
Resolution A is not Resolution B.
Kathy Covert thinks possibly it's a different resolution that that was about, Jim.
Yeah. A is as is in the packet, I think.
A.
So you're moving resolution A.
Yeah,
the local as law in the packet.
right.
It has a date in it.
Oh, Julie wanted to add in the second.
Oh, sorry.
The date on July 6, 2017. Is that friendly?
Second whereas.
Yeah. No. Duly added July 6, 2017. I'm fine with that. I'm sorry. I am talking about the wrong resolution.
Okay, we're back on track.
Yeah.
Who was the seconder? Leslie, is that all right with you?
Very all right with me.
So we vote on the adopting the local law to repeal the former resolution to override the tax levy. Those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That is unanimous. Jim?
Now. The item B is the authorization with a contract for contract with Insero and Company for the provision of financial auditing services, and duly submitted a change in this resolution. I will move it and then talk about it.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn.
Duly, in the second whereas, the line that you added to include both a normal audit and a federal grant audit, in the conversation, everything else is fine. In the conversation at the committee, Rick pointed out several things, and Rick, do you want to just repeat your statement?
Yeah, we felt that it was not appropriate to include that phrase because it lists our normal audit and the federal grant audit, which is just two of the nine audits
right.
that were bid and that were part of this package that were approved. So I didn't feel it was appropriate to list each of the nine audits. So we struck this particular phrase. If you'd like to see the nine audits, they're on page 12 of your packet on the cost proposal sheet.
Okay. So was that the only?
Yes. All the rest is fine.
Okay. So is that all right with you, Glenn?
Yes.
All right. So then as proposed, except that one sentence, all those in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed?
Thank you. And then the item.
That's unanimous.
That we had added, it is an authorization to execute a contract with Benetech Incorporated for Department of Human Resources. And Amy is here. And if anyone has any questions, she will come to the microphone. I have a question, so I'm hoping. Let me move it.
Is there a second? Seconded by Glenn. Discussion.
Amy, thank you for being here. The question I have we are involved with an FSA plan, the HRA / VEBA, and it looks like we're adding some billing to the county, the library, and TC3 for retiree health insurance.
Okay, yes, certainly. So we have been outsourcing, as we have to, the administration of the flexible spending plan accounts and the collectively bargained HRA VEBA accounts for quite some time with the same vendor. This past year, we've discovered some very serious issues with the vendor. I won't go into detail, but compliance concerns, et cetera. And so we issued an RFP for a new vendor, received those results, and a committee of folks from finance, payroll, and my department reviewed the proposals and selected Benetech as the appropriate vendor to go with. When they came to speak with us, Rick and staff were present, and they spoke about their ability to incorporate services related to the retiree billing component. The retiree billing process involves several staff members from Rick's department as well as my own. It's an extremely time-consuming process, and in discussions, and I don't want to speak on behalf of Rick, but it was determined to be more cost-effective to outsource that piece as well. The county historically has performed the retiree billing services for the library retirees and TC3 retirees, a long-standing relationship that's evolved over the years. We are going to be having discussions with them to determine, you know, reasonable expectations with regard to our transition to the new vendor and their fiscal responsibility toward the services, or whether they'd like to perform them themselves, that type of thing. But in either case, it is a great efficiency for the county.
The other question I have in the last resolve, it says, for a period of 2 years, with the option to renew the contract for three additional one-year terms beginning January 1, 2018. It sounds like, and unless I'm wrong, it sounds like we're renewing the 3 1-years on January 2018. And, in fact, what you're really doing is doing a two-year contract, right?
That's correct. And that's the only reason I was told that we needed to have a resolution was because it was a multi-year contract, a two-year contract rather than 1 year. But because they're taking on an extensive amount of work in transitioning these accounts, they really needed to have a two-year agreement with us in place. But, yes, it would be a two-year agreement, and then we have the option to renew for additional one-year periods.
Mm-hmm. Julie, I'm not John.
Jonathan. Could I suggest just moving up the language beginning January 1, 2018 to after the 2 years?
Sure.
And that would solve the
problem? Yeah.
Perfect.
Right. Okay. And we'll just remove the rest?
Perfect, yeah.
Okay.
That satisfactory?
Yeah. And my apologies.
No, that's all right.
We had help drafting the resolution.
I mean, I've been here 12 years, and I've never changed a line of in a thing, so... I'm paying homage to Dooley. At any rate.
Okay, sure.
Thank you, John.
Any
for
other?
That. Any other questions about this?
Dooley?
I didn't get a chance to read this until it was in my folder tonight. I had that change, and I have a couple of others that I wanted to suggest. There are no line numbers, so they're just little editorial things replacing one which with the word that. In the fourth, whereas, the third line, request for proposals, RFPs, and received four proposals from qualified vendors, among which an RFP committee recommended. So the word among needs to get stuck
okay,
in there.
Okay, here's what I have. May I make a suggestion? Take a look at your resolution, put the words in, and hand it to Kathy at the end, and,
she
and that
will...
She
can decide if they're useful.
That will work. It won't, Kathy.
That says...
yeah.
I'm ready to vote. All those in favor, please raise your hand. Are there any opposed? That's unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a meeting on December 11th for the committee. It's about 25 items on it. It's end of year thing, so hopefully all of you, all the committee members will be there and be able to do that so that we can keep the county going for the end of the year and all in the beginning of 2018. Unless someone has questions for me, I don't have anything.
Thank you, Jim. Dooley, you've added Resolution D. You want to move that?
Yes. I'd like to move a resolution entitled, it's ID number 7484, entitled In Support of Equality of Internet Access, parenthesis net neutrality. and regulation of the Internet as a public utility under Title II of the Federal Communications Act.
Is there a second? Seconded by Carol Chalk. Discussion. Martha?
Julie, I'm really glad that you brought this to us. This is a really, really critical issue. And I got to say, there's a lot of doublespeak going on around this. I heard an interview with one of the commissioners today on NPR, and you know, the person who followed him basically debunked everything he said. I mean, this is really critical. They are acting, the FCC majority seems to be acting as if everything has been broken for the last 2 years, when in fact the telecommunications companies are doing very, very well. Thank you very much. And I think one issue that's certainly clear, they tried to say that really was no problem, that they haven't had any public hearings on this profound change in our communications world. They say they've been having, you know, getting comments, and I guess online, which is kind of ironic if this is about the internet access. I also heard that the commissioners have said that basically they're really not paying attention to one-page comments comments from citizens who aren't attorneys steeped in, you know, business law and whatever. And it's really disturbing. I hope people will continue, nevertheless, to call and write to the FCC, and maybe you have that information at hand, because I think it was citizen comment that basically created the political climate to enforce, to put in these protections in the first place, and in fact to protect the open internet earlier during the Bush administration. And I think it's important that we maintain that at all costs.
Mike Sigler was next.
I'm going to be voting against this, because I think it just misses the mark of what's actually happened to the Internet over the past 10 years. We are acting as if net neutrality still exists. It is a zombie concept. This has been walking around, and it's been dead for a number of years, and we just don't want to admit the fact that it's dead. Facebook and Google this year will attract 84% of global spending in the digital age. It is wiping out every other digital enterprise. If we all want to act like the toy store down the street here has the same access to the Internet that Amazon has, we're literally fooling ourselves. I mean, I'm looking at other countries and what they're talking about. I'm looking at Australia. Just this week, they're coming out saying, you know what, Google, Facebook, these companies are massive. They've taken over the entire space. We should be looking at breaking these up. We shouldn't be looking at net neutrality. It's dead. They throttle speeds all the time. I mean, I have an internet provider. It's AT&T on my phone. When I use a certain amount, if I've only bought 15 gig, after that, I get throttled down in speed. So it's not like this hasn't already happened. And we're going to sit here and we're going to argue and we're going to say, oh, net neutrality, that's so important. That battle's already been fought and lost. So for us to keep this going and saying, oh, well, we need to fight this battle, I really wish we could move on and start looking at some of these companies. Because Google is eating everybody's lunch. Amazon is eating it. I mean, I don't know how to even express the fact that there are like three or four companies that simply own the Internet at this point. And we can keep talking about net neutrality, but other countries are looking at these companies like the U.S. isn't. They're looking at this ad space going away and how it's affecting every single newspaper, every single magazine, and they're thinking, you know what, we have a problem here, and it's these four companies, these tech giants. And we appreciate that they, you know, create a lot of jobs and do create a lot in the economy, but it's not for lack of, you know, it's not without cost. So that's why I believe the focus should be someplace else. But, you know, you vote the way you want to vote.
just want to remind folks we have an executive session tonight. Will Burbank.
So, Mike, I'm all for you. I'm delighted to hear you talk about the increasing power of large corporations, and I would also support a resolution to call a check to their power. However, this one is protecting elements that, while not perfect, certainly are better than what many fear could be. And our own State Attorney General, Eric Steinerman, has made us aware that there was a systematic campaign of bots emanating, I think it was like something like 600,000 messages coming from one address in Russia, basically advocating changing of the rules and ending what exists in net neutrality. It is critically important. And, Dooley, thank you ever so much for bringing this forward.
Carol?
Yeah, I want to thank Dooley as well. And, the Internet, as we know it, was created with taxpayer dollars. It was created as part of the DARPA project. And dating back that far, the principle was established that it should be open. And, Mike, I couldn't agree with you more that in fact, we have something that is less than ideal. But all the more reason, having seen the impact of that, and what happens when the power is throttled down for the rest of us, all the more reason to look to preserve as much of it as we can and to ensure a process by which that will get looked at. And if you're being throttled down, that's not okay. So I don't agree with your rationale. Is that for a reason to vote against this? And I hope you will keep your mind open as discussion continues here. I do think that this is something that would benefit our residents. This is tied to our residents, in particularly those, as we know, in Newfield, in Enfield, in Caroline. I would assume not everybody in Lansing has broadband access, even. And the other areas of the county in which, you know, it has not made sense for companies, even our local providers, to be able to provide service to our residents who need it for basic things like job applications. And if we perpetuate a system and make it worse, in which the only people who have access to decent speed internet are those who can afford to pay big bucks for the big services, we're not serving all of our residents. So I think it's in the interest of every single legislator. I don't think this is a partisan issue. I think this is a bipartisan issue, and I would urge us to pass this unanimously.
Dooley?
I wanted to tell Mike Sigler that I agree with you that the companies you mentioned, such as Facebook or Google, are where we should be focusing our worries and attention. But the reason that this is important is to make sure that the Internet, the basic Internet, is still defined under Title II as a public utility, that it doesn't become just an information service. And it's the Title II part of this resolution that, to me, is the most crucial. Public utilities are basic needs, and I hope you will understand this resolution that way. It's not in conflict with what you were talking about at all. Thank you.
All right, ready to vote? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? I have two opposed. All right, minutes of previous meeting, November 21st. Rich, seconded by Martha. Discussion? Martha?
I'm looking at packet page 19. It's the first paragraph where Irene Weiser is talking about the NYSEG issue on the 1-5 line. You say the history, she spoke briefly of the history of when this project first started 7 years ago. I think that was more like 3 or 4 years ago.
and I maybe 4 years ago, I think the what?
I'm sorry, what page are you on?
Packet page 19, the top paragraph.
Maybe it's not several, maybe?
Several's good, if that's okay. And if you would spell out Energy and Economic Development Task Force on the top of the first, the next paragraph. I appreciate that.
Ready to vote. All those in favor? Those opposed? I have one opposed. Now, I need a motion to go into executive session. We have two topics. One is negotiations a litigation issue. And the second one is the personnel issue with respect to a particular person. I have a hand from Jim, a seconded from Rich. All in favor of the executive session, please raise your hand. Let's take 10 minutes while we shut down.